Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chronicle. I'm your host, Karan. I am back. Thank you for sticking with me. I take a little break, but I am back, and I have a bunch of more episodes to put out there for you. So today's episode is an interview with someone that does a lot with like public speaking and communication and things like that. So stay tuned. All right, so we have a guest today. His name is Brendan. He is the founder of Master Talk, which is a YouTube channel he started to help the world master the art of public speaking and communication. He coaches purpose-driven entrepreneurs on how to master their message and share their ideas with the world. So let's welcome Brendan to the podcast.
Sounds great.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Brendan. I'm the founder of Master Talk. It's a YouTube channel I started to help the world master the art of communication, public speaking. And how I got started was when I was in university, I used to do these things called case competitions. So think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So other guys my age were playing football or soccer or basketball, things I never really understood, to be honest. I did presentations competitively. So I presented 500 times, coached dozens of people on communication. By the time I graduated business school and landed my dream job in corporate Canada, I guess in my case, kind of just asked myself, what do I do with my life now? How do I make an impact in the world? And I just realized that a lot of the communication information out there is horrifying on YouTube. So I started making YouTube videos on the topic, didn't think much of it. And it grew a lot more than I thought it would. And here we are today.
Nice. Very cool. Okay. Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about Master Talk and like what you all do.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, Master Talk is my attempt at democratizing the world's information on public speaking. So what does that mean? It means I want to live in a world where nobody is scared of public speaking. That some 15-year-old kid who can't afford me could just say, "Oh, there's this YouTube channel called Master. If I just watch all the videos, I'll learn everything that people usually charge thousands of dollars an hour to learn for."
Right.
So hopefully I end up knocking that out before my time's up on the planet. But that's the ambition anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Okay. So why is communication so important?
Right. I would say the catch-all answer to that is communication is everything. A lot of people tend to think that public speaking and all that stuff is just for presentations. But the truth is, communication is the long conversations you have with the people that you love. It's the tough conversations you have with the people you think you love. It's the dinner conversations you have with your friends. It's the business negotiations that you do. It's the way that you get people on dates with you. It's everything, right? So every day you're always communicating. So by mastering this important skill, not only will it make your ideas worth sharing at scale, but also make your life a lot more meaningful as well.
I think that's, you hit it right on the head. Like, that communication is so important to everything, not like you said, not just the public speaking sphere of everything, but literally life. All right, so why do you think public speaking is so hard?
Now that is an interesting question. Why do I think public speaking is hard? I actually don't think it's hard, but I'll tell you why it's hard for most of us, why we think it's hard. That's more interesting. So now the question we need to ask ourselves is, where does that fear come from? Where does that idea that public speaking is hard come from? Well, it's simple, right? If you think about it, where do we give most of our presentations? The answer, whether you live in Japan, whether you live in the States, whether you live in Europe, or anywhere really, is school. Mm-hmm. High school, college, university. All the presentations that you get in your life are not optional. We don't wake up one morning and go, "What's up, Karen? You want to get breakfast and present all day?" Not a thing. We don't do that. all the presentations we give are mandatory. So we're sitting in high school and three things happen. Number one, we never get to pick the topic. And if we do, it's generally something you're not passionate about. Think about your history classes, your Renaissance topics, and you're like, what's this, like a fruit? Then you find out later it's a time period in history and you got to present it. Number two, the students. Students don't care to listen to you, not because they don't care about you. You're a great guy. I'm a great guy. The people listening to us are great people. The issue is not us. It's the environment. When you're up there speaking, you're thinking, man, nobody's paying attention to me. I must be a really bad speaker. That's not true at all. The reason nobody's paying attention to you is because I'm sitting in the audience biting my nails because I'm going 10 minutes after you.
Right.
I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about my presentation in the same way you would be worried about yours if I was presenting. Number three, teachers. Teachers are very well educated. Teachers are very well intentioned, but also very stressed. When you have 70 students in a classroom, you got two classes, you go through all of them. You don't have time to coach them one-on-one for 10 minutes on communication. So let's break down our findings. In almost 100% of your presentations before you start working, three things happen. You never get to pick the topic. You're always presenting to students who don't care, to teachers who can't coach you. And this behavior gets perpetuated, gets repeated in everything. English, math, sciences, French, languages, music, gym, on and on and on.
Right.
You're taught to believe that public speaking is a chore. It's a responsibility. If we're at work, it's tied to a result. And if we're at school, it's tied to a grade. And if we fail at any part of that journey, we get punished for it, whether it's a lower grade or a promotion that we don't get. So what's the punchline to the question? The punchline is that the fear of public speaking is not our fault, but rather the fault of the system in which we grew up learning the skill in the first place, hence why we think public speaking is hard when it actually isn't.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because, like you said, it most of the time where we are learning to do this is in school and where we're having to do this. And yeah, again, it's like we're nervous about it and we don't want to flub it. And if we do, it becomes a thing where, yeah, we get a lower grade on it. So I think that, yeah, I think that is what perpetuates that, it perpetuates that fear even more for anyone that is doing a presentation or doing a speech or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. And I'm a good example too. You know, I grew up in a city called Montreal in Canada. And in that city, you need to know the French language. It's one of the few cities in the world. You need to multiple. But here's the issue, man. I didn't know the language. So my parents threw me into a French education system. Thank God. So now I know the language. But the consequence of that is from the ages of 5 to 16, not only was I uncomfortable presentation like most of us, I was presenting in a language I didn't know. So when I was in grade one, I would just look at the crowd and go, bonjour? And just panic. So the bottom line here, I'm not saying public speaking is the easiest thing in the world to master either, but if I could do it, I'm 100% sure everyone listening can too.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So how do you appeal to your audience, especially when it's an audience that you don't know much about?
Yep. So how do you speak to an audience that you've never known much about? So the key is, actually my latest video was that topic, how do you present to an audience you've never met? So the key is, there's a couple of things. One, you want to start creating personas of who that person is and have conversations with people who know the people in the audience. So let's say you're giving, a conference or some sort of speech to 16-year-old girls or boys, like teenagers. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't know them in particular, you're familiar with the demographics. What you want to do is you want to have discussions with people who have already spoken to 16-year-olds. What have their experiences been? What works? What doesn't work? Same thing with the event. If that's an event of a particular conference, you want to ask that person, hey, last year when that same conference happened, what are some of the things that worked? What didn't? What was your favorite event? Why? Why not? And you start to gather data on your ideal persona. And ideally, if you're in that, if that is possible for you, and it generally is, You want to make sure that you can secure a conversation with somebody in the demographic. You don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily need to be somebody who's going to be sitting in the room that day. But if you need to talk to 16-year-old kids, ask some of your family, is there someone that's 16 or 15 or 17 that I can have a conversation with? The difference between me and the rest of the industry is I'm not more special, not more important, I'm not more unique. The difference is I have more conversations. There is not a single speech coach in the world that has talked to more 8-year-olds than I have. Fact. It's just the truth. You know, when I'm at an event and there's an 8-year-old next to me who's sitting and watching my workshop in 30 minutes, kind of just go, hey, how's it going? They kind of look at me like, what's public speaking? I don't know what IBM is. We see it. And I'm just like, okay, so I'm processing all this. Okay, simplify my content. Don't complicate things. Be corny. Throw a bunch of jokes in. That kind of stuff, right? Same thing. Develop that ideal persona.
Okay.
Second, learn from other speakers and how they present to that respected demographic that you're targeting. And number three, you want to also look at how those speakers present your topic and see how differently other speakers present that topic. So you can see what makes the most sense for that demographic. I'll give you a simple example. When I'm on a podcast in the US and I give my personal story about the sports, notice how I used American sports. I said soccer, football, and basketball.
Right.
When I'm on a UK show, which was this morning, I don't say that. I say football as in footy, which is a soccer term in the UK. I say cricket and I say rugby.
Okay. Right? Okay.
So they go, oh yeah, wait, how do you know that? And they kind of just look at it. So that's what I mean. I do all those little things that people don't really notice that I'm pointing out right now for the sake of this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's basically having that conversation with someone that may be in that demographic, as well as learning from what other people have done in either that has gone before you or just things that may have been you've seen in the past.
Right. And one last thing that I forgot to mention, which is probably the most important tip, get there early. Like if you're supposed to speak at 8, get there at 6. 2 comes in the room, sit down next to one of them. They're here to see you. Why wouldn't they want to talk to you? Hey, I'm Brendan. What's your name? What are you up to? What are you passionate about? I do that every single time I present.
Nice. So it's you're getting to know the audience and you're making yourself more personable as well. Yeah.
You got it.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what about if you are just getting handed this presentation or you're just getting asked to do this presentation with no other information except what the topic is? And the audience may be of a different race or ethnic group from you, age group, those types of things.
These are very specific questions. I like it. You're very specific. You're like, Brendan, tell me, what if there's two bananas in the room? How do you navigate this? Right. So you mentioned ethnicity and race. Is there a way of presenting different cultures, right? Did I get the question correctly?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's actually a simple hack to this that not many people know about. The key is you want to have a conversation with somebody who understands your culture and the culture you're presenting to. So like an example, let's say I have a presentation in London next week. So I don't know UK culture that much. So I don't know many people in London. What I'll do instead is I'll talk to a Canadian who either used to live in London or his parents are from London. So what this person does for me is they allow me to speak however, like ask them dumb questions, but they can also go, hey, by the way, in Brendan, in Canada, this is how it works. But in London, this is how it's different. But because that person is in both cultures. Same thing, an easier one. If you have a presentation in Japan, I just talked to a Japanese friend of mine who's studying in Canada. So then that Japanese guy or gal can look at me and go, hey, by the way, Brendan, in Canada, I know we do this. You should never do this in Japan.
Gotcha. Never do this. Okay.
So what this person is essentially is a translator between both cultures. So that's the easiest way to fix for culture. So for example, I used to say soccer all the time to UK audience. So one person said, what's soccer? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, you mean footy? I was like, what's a footy? And they're like, you know, football. Like, oh, I was like ball? No, ball, like with the foot.
Yeah.
I was like, right. That probably makes a lot more sense. It made me question other things in the US. Like, why do they call it football if you're, anyways.
Right. So
yeah, have conversations with people who's a part of that culture or better, if it's possible, who understand both the culture that you're in and the culture that you want to speak to.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's really, really insightful. And also going along with the audience, where should you look when you're doing a speech?
Right. So this is subjective. It's going to depend on who you are. But what I usually recommend at the beginning, if you're a beginner speaker, you want to be focused on other things. Focus on your filler words, your audience mastery, how you communicate. So instead, I would just look in one direction.
Okay.
So that's beginner. Intermediate, what I would do is, let's say you got a room and there's like two, like, you know, you got, like, I'll help people who are listening to the audio imagine this. You're in a classroom. There's an audience on the left. There's an audience on the right. Simple, right? Standard classroom, standard room.
Right.
What you want to do is shift your body at least once in all of the directions during the presentation.
Okay.
So a simple example, once again, let's say you're giving a 5-minute presentation. You want to do 1 minute in the center. Hi, everyone. My name is Brendan, blah, blah, blah. You want to do, let's say, a minute 30 on the left. You shift your body and you look in that direction. And then you do the same thing on the right, but you're not looking at anyone in particular. You're kind of just looking in their vicinity so people feel included. And then the last minute, you go back into the center and you close. Whereas when you're an expert, which I'll only recommend if you're really good at communication, then depending on how big the group is, I'll challenge you to look at every single individual person in the room at least once before your time's up. So if you have 10 people in a room, you have a 60-minute presentation, my expectation is that you've looked at everyone in the eyes at least 3 times, at least, minimum, since you have so much time to build a relationship with them.
Right. Okay. Okay. So any advice or tips for anyone that has to make a speech? So I have a friend that I was actually just talking to her before we got on here today, and she was like, I use so many filler words and things like that. Like, what can I do to be able to eliminate those filler words or the ums and ands and all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start structuring the speech. I think that's a great question. So I have a simple framework that even a 5-year-old can implement. So you can do this super easily. So there's 3 parts to the perfect speech. Okay. One is the key idea. Okay. So the key idea is the main sentence that summarizes all of your thoughts. And if we remember that sentence, you win. But the issue with most people is they don't know how to find the sentence. So allow me to elaborate. The question you need to ask yourself is the following. Let's say it's your last presentation ever. And after you present, you die. I know it's morbid, but trust me, it's helpful. And then in that presentation, you can present for 6 minutes, 6 hours, however long you want, doesn't really matter. But your audience will not remember you, your title, or your content. But they'll remember one sentence. What do you want the sentence to be? So for me, that one sentence is, I believe that anyone can master public speaking. Right, that's simple. I can tell you all the tips, I can tell you all the secrets, but at the end of the day, there's one sentence that summarizes my life's work. It's that I think anyone can do it. I think the fear of public speaking is BS. I just think that anyone can master it.
Mm-hmm.
That's part one. Part two of the framework is simple. What is the best way of defending that key idea? Is it a quote? Is it an analogy? Is it a story? What tool in the toolbox makes the most sense to my audience? And more importantly, to me as the speaker? Trust me, if you're not funny, you should not be using humor. In the same way that if you're not sarcastic, don't use sarcasm. Same thing. But so what you want to do, for me, it was simple. What's the best way of defending my key message, my key idea? And the answer is going to be different for different people. But as you can probably guess, it's my personal story. I was 5 years old. I went to a French school. I was stressed out of my mind, and I still managed to speak like this. So if I can do it, anyone else can as well. That's the best way of defending my key story, my key message. But for you, that might be a statistic. You might be working on some academic paper and the people in your group are PhDs and above and they need to see some proof or something. It doesn't really matter what it is, because remember, you're the messenger of your own message, right? You know how to project your idea better than anyone else. Part three, how should you practice your speech and order it? Most people make the following mistake. They shove a bunch of content and then they present and then it's ruins. It's just bad. But instead, what I want to introduce you to is my puzzle framework. So if there's any object that best describes public speaking, it's the following. It's a jigsaw puzzle. You know those 1,000-piece puzzles that you kind of put together as a family?
Yeah.
So if I asked you, which pieces, if you were doing this puzzle with me or your family, which pieces would you start with first and why?
Typically, we would start with the outside pieces because that is going to be the easiest way to get that together.
Right. You know, the edge pieces are much easier. The corners, they set the framework for how the image is going to look like.
Right.
So the analogy we need to think about is, why don't we do that in public speaking? We have a presentation due in 2 days. So instead of starting with the edges, we take a bunch of content, we shove it in. We start with the middle pieces. Like, you figure out the sun, I'll figure out the moon. And by the time it's too late and then we don't have the corners together. What does that mean in presentation world? It means you're presenting content. And then you get to the last slide and you go, thanks. And that's your presentation. Whereas the real way you practice and structure your presentation, the way I coach my clients on this, that you can take for yourselves and implement, is I force them to practice the introduction 50 times, 100 times. Because it's a minute, right?
Right.
Over and over and over and over again. I make them do the conclusion in the same way, because what's a great movie with a terrible ending? A terrible movie, right?
Right.
So I make them do the conclusion 100 times, same thing. And then they see themselves present their introduction, like, wow, I'm a really good speaker. And then with that confidence, they tackle the middle, right? So let me summarize. Key idea, what's the best way to defend the key idea? And then after you've done those two things, apply puzzle. Start with the edges first, get the corners out of the way, make sure they're perfect, nice in order. And then tackle the middle. And remember, much like jigsaw puzzles, it is boring to do a puzzle on your own. Why would you sit there and put 1,000 pieces together? Get some people, get some friends, get some family, get people who are willing to give you feedback and work on the middle pieces together. And that is how you solve the public speaking puzzle.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. Thank you. That's very, very insightful and very helpful. Because I am one of those people that has such stage fright whenever it comes to public speaking. And once I get in front of someone, like, my mouth goes completely dry. So this is very helpful. What would you say you would do with, like, your hands, your body, like, What do you do with that whenever you're making a speech?
Right. If I'm being perfectly honest, I think body language is only for advanced speakers. So my recommendation is, think of body language like seasoning, right? If you put a little bit of seasoning, the food tastes good. But if you put too much seasoning, it tastes not so good. Right?
Gotcha.
So the key to body language is just keep your hands close to your body. Don't do anything crazy and focus on the other elements of public speaking. Because you can even, I mean, notice with me, I'm overdoing it like crazy with my hands, even in this very conversation, because that's just the way I speak. Obviously, it looks weird in a virtual setting, but in person, the way that I move my hands looks perfectly normal. So I'm not willing to change that for the online world. But the way that I'm pushing here is, even if a pro like me isn't paying attention, oh, I got to put my hands to myself. Mm-hmm. If I'm not doing it, like, don't worry. I think there are just more important things you want to focus on. And then, unless you're a politician or something, people I usually don't coach anyways, but as you get better, then you can think about, okay, let's make sure I'm not going crazy with my hands. Let me make sure I'm near my body, that I'm moving my gestures in the right way to get the right action. But it's a last priority for sure.
Okay. And you mentioned, like, the elements of public speaking. What are those elements?
The elements that you can think about is like I was mentioning earlier, like the puzzle, right? Intro. I keep it simple. Intro, content, conclusion. Kill the intro, kill the conclusion, and then tackle the middle. But one thing I'll add there as a layer is, make sure you do the middle with other people. So in the same way you do a puzzle, right? You do the moon pieces, I do the sun pieces. Same thing. So you want to do a draft on your own at the beginning, but then the next thing you want to do right after, you want to get feedback. hey, what do you think about this? Because 99% of the time, including me, whenever you're done, you're actually not done. There's always a way to simplify what you said in less words, and your feedback peers will allow you to do that.
Okay, yeah. So that's all the questions that I have for you.
That was a great interrogation. I think I passed.
Anything else that you would like the listeners to know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll leave you all with a book recommendation and life advice. So book recommendation is my number one recommended book on public speaking, which is called Thirst by Scott Harrison. I think Scott is a savant in marketing and branding and storytelling. I highly recommend the read. He used to be a nightclub promoter in New York, and now he runs one of the biggest nonprofits in the world in water and sanitation. I just think he's really smart, and he's a great example of how we should be applying public speaking, not just talking about it in the theoretical world, but using it to make an impact. So highly recommend the read. And life advice is my favorite quote, which is as follows. Be insane or be the same. If you want to be like everyone else, that's totally fine. But if you made it this far into the conversation, the only piece I have for you now, since you've listened to me for some reason for 30 minutes, is the following. Don't you find it odd that a 22-year-old kid started a YouTube channel, not on vlogging, not on pranks, not on comedy skits, but on public speaking, communication skills? Then he went on to coach CEOs of companies at the age of 23. But at the same time, he lives in his mother's basement, is speaking to on a mattress, doesn't own a car, and doesn't plan on moving out of his mother's house for a long time. How do any of those decisions make any sense at all? And that is the point. When all of the decisions in your life make sense to the only person that matters, which is you, you're probably making the right decision. So learn the art of insanity.
I like that. Thank you so much. Where can we find you online?
Of course. So for those of you who want to check out my YouTube videos and learn all my knowledge of public speaking for free, that's Master Talk in one word. And if you want to message me directly on Instagram, the best way of doing that is Master Your Talk.
Thank you. Like I said, this was very helpful and very insightful. Thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing all this knowledge with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Karan.
All right. That is the end of this episode. Thank you for listening. I want to thank my guest, Brendan, for being here and teaching us all this stuff about public speaking and things like that. So that's been really, really beneficial. And if you want to follow him, watch any of his videos on Master Talk, you can find that on YouTube. I'll post all the links in the description. Let me know if you have any questions or you want to be on the show or anything like that. Reach out to me. All right. Until next time.